spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Fourth Crown, was written by Peter Lyon and is presented in observance of the 250th anniversary of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement.
There was once a wise teacher, and he called to him the three most promising of his students, saying,
The man of virtue is like a man who has been crowned and seated upon a throne. Yet surely you will all agree there are many virtues, and just so a man may be crowned with many crowns. Consider well, and then tell me, with the crown of which virtue would you be crowned, so that you may approach most nearly the throne of the Almighty? Blessed be He.
And the three disciples thought, racking their brains to stir up the memories of what they had learned, at length making answers.
I would seek the responsibility of authority, which is so often misused. For, if I had such power, I could use it for the benefit of many.
I would seek piety, for it is written, so long as you fulfill the commandments, you are rendered holy.
As for me, I should strive for learning, for wisdom. For it is written, he who has acquired for himself words of Torah has acquired for himself life in the world to come.
And the teacher regarded his three disciples. There was a twinkle in his eyes. He slowly shook his head.
You have chosen well,
said the teacher,
but none of you has chosen well enough. Let me try to show you what I have in mind, and then you will judge whether or no you might not have chosen more wisely. Come with me in your imagination to a small town called Makom Echad. Like every other small town, in all respects, save one. For in Makom Echad there lived many years ago, not one, but four men who were accounted saintly. These four, when they were boys, together they studied Torah. Together they went on to the Beth Hamidrash, the house of study. And the eyes of the town's rabbi shone as he watched them at their work. There came a day when the rabbi had something special to tell one of them.
Israel, I am proud to be your teacher.
If I deserve what you say, Rabbi.
You do, you do. You know, Israel, no man lives forever.
So gloomy a thought for my studies to inspire.
Well, such a thought is not necessarily gloomy. Death is not gloomy to a man who has lived a good life.
That had not occurred to me.
But my thought was inspired by your studies, Israel. I have been thinking, after me, who is to be the town's rabbi? And I have been thinking, why not you? Well, what's the matter? The idea frightens you?
It makes me unhappy.
Oh. Why should it? The office of rabbi, why should it make you unhappy?
The honor...
Or is it the responsibility? Or is it just that you would prefer not to think of your teacher not having to leave his post?
I don't think I should be rabbi of the town. I think Benjamin, my friend Benjamin...
Oh, to be sure. Benjamin is also advanced in his studies. I thought, however, that if I spoke to you first, that you might wish to continue in the necessary schooling. I don't understand your attitude, Israel. Well, I will speak to Benjamin.
Israel and Benjamin. Those were two of the four young men I mentioned. The others were David and Nathan. And their teacher, the rabbi of the town of Makom Echad, he never understood completely why Israel did not accept his offer. In fact, what Israel did was to take a job at a mill. He and David together, the two were hired on the same day. And it wasn't many weeks after they had gone to work when the manager called Israel to him.
Come in, young man, come in. Well, sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Well, well, like your work, don't you? You know, I can tell. Yes, you and your friend David, too. Fact is, I don't think we've had two such bright young men working here since I don't know when.
Well,
compliments embarrass you? Well, they shouldn't. They're deserved.
Well, then I won't be embarrassed, sir.
Good, good. Now, then, I want to let you get back to work, so I'll be brief. I'm promoting you, creating a new job, assistant manager. How do you like that, huh? Not bad, eh? Not bad, eh? After only 3 months at work?
It's fine. Only David...
Don't worry about David. Next thing it turns up, he'll get. Only you first. By the way, a new job carries a raise with it, too. 100 more every month. Eh? How's that sound to you, eh? And the first month's raise right now. All right. There you are, son. Pick them up. Take them. It's all right. They're yours. Every one of them.
100.
Just an indication, boy. Now listen to me. With your ability, I wouldn't be surprised if in 10 or 15 years you wouldn't have this whole town by the ears. Know what I mean? Head of the town, leading citizen, figure of authority. You make all the decisions. You'd like that, wouldn't you? Sure you would. What youngster wouldn't? Well, that's your future, the way you're going. I can spot a comer. Go ahead, Israel. Take the money. Go on. You know something? The way you're standing there holding your hands over that money, it almost looks as though you were blessing it.
It does.
Except, of course, you're not touching it. You usually lay your hands on the thing when you bless it, don't you?
When you ask a prayer of blessing on the candles that you light on Sabbath Eve, you don't touch them, do you?
Certainly not. Burn yourself.
I have a feeling that this money would burn, too, if I touched it.
What?
Sir, you said that the next promotion, the next thing that turns up, you'd give it to David, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did. Why?
Let David take this job. I think he will do better.
But Israel, I don't...
What I mean is, sir, I won't be able to stay at my job here anymore. But thank you very much.
Well, I'll be blowed.
First Israel and Benjamin, then Israel and David. And the fourth young man, Nathan, was troubled when he sought out their rabbi.
Rabbi, I've been talking to Israel. He has quit his job at the mill.
Yes, yes, yes. I have heard.
He says he's going to leave town. He has a little shack out in the woods to the east of town. He's planning to live there, Rabbi, and earn what he needs to live by cutting wood.
So?
But you haven't heard the worst. He's leaving the house of study, too.
You will still be here, Nathan. You and I will study together.
Rabbi, what is troubling Israel?
Well, I talked to him. I talked to him months ago about something else. I talked to him again recently, and I told him that if he were diligent, if he persevered, he would become a sage among our people.
But he chose not to. Why?
You are studying, aren't you, Nathan? You will persevere.
With all my heart and mind, Rabbi.
Then our town will still one day boast a sage. Come, we have work.
So now, of these four men of rare promise, one, Benjamin, became the town's rabbi. The second, David, was well launched on a career which would bring him authority. The third, Nathan, was humbly mastering wisdom. And the fourth, that was Israel. And he was in the forest east of the town, chopping trees.
So Israel had chosen not to be the town's rabbi. Yet a group of elders of the congregation still hoped.
It is agreed.
We'll ask him right after service. Talk to him as he leaves the synagogue.
The elders had selected a festival on which to suggest to Israel to reconsider and become a rabbi.
Not to come to service?
And on a festival. It's not as though he was sick. He was seen out walking in the fields.
Walking in the fields? It's a lucky thing we found out in time.
Yes, it was a festival holy day, but Israel had not come to services at the synagogue. It was true. He had been seen out walking in the sunlit meadows near his forest. Not alone, for in his hand was the hand of a girl whose father and mother had both died within the week.
Let's walk down by the stream, Sarah, shall we?
Where?
Down there by those willows. Maybe we'll hear the peepers.
Peepers?
Tree toads. They start singing this time of year.
All right, I don't care.
It's a pretty sweater you're wearing, Sarah. Where did you get it?
My mother made it for me.
Oh. It's beautifully made.
I made a little of it. She showed me how to knit and I needed a little bit of it. My father would...
Yes?
He joked me about it. He said I could knit better than Mother. But that was just one of his stories.
Uh-huh.
He made up stories all the time. Every night when I got into bed, he came in and made up stories. We used to make them up together. First he'd tell a little, then I'd think of part to tell. And he...
Well, that's a fine idea, isn't it? To tell your bedtime stories together. What was the last one about?
I forget right now.
But you could remember?
I suppose so.
Was the story finished? The one you were making up together?
They were really all one story. They all had the same people in them and the same animals and the same...
Well, you'll always be able to... Keep telling the story then, won't you? Well, look out.
What?
Right where you were going to walk. A meadowlark's nest there. See? By that clump of weeds?
Yes. I remember when I was just a little girl, my mother used to take me for walks out in the country. She knew all the birds. Some she knew just by hearing them sing.
And she taught you how to recognize them, too?
I guess so. No more. They left me alone.
But they haven't left you. They're still with you, Sarah. In your heart. And in the heart of everyone who knew them. People never leave someone who loved them. They never leave someone they were good to. How can they have gone? How can they ever go? It's only a short trip they took. And they arrived safely, Sarah. In your heart.
Yes. Tonight, when I go to bed, I'll try to tell a little more of our story. Just to myself.
Sarah, do you know the evening festival prayer?
Yes. Before I could even read, my father taught it to me.
Then let's kneel here by the stream and say the prayer together.
In time, the committee of elders learned why Israel had walked in the meadow on the holy day, and they asked themselves if his impiety was not more pious than their own piety, and they honored his name. The people of the town knew of the things that Israel did, the little things, the time he gave his own can of milk to a woman who had spilled hers angrily pushing through a crowd, and other things, too. As when he gave the coat off his back to a frail old man on a cold winter's night, himself walking the several miles home to his cabin in his shirt sleeves. But when they met the folk from other towns, it was of the other three that they were more eager to boast.
But you haven't heard about our rabbi. Such piety. I tell you, each one of the 613 precepts of the religious code, every one of them was made for Benjamin. I guarantee you that he observes them all. Never was there such a pious man.
There is a wise man in your town. Come to Macomb Echad, my friend, if you would meet a wise man. Our Nathan is veritably one of the foremost in Israel. Our whole town glows.
Hark if you will. Isn't it written, the Holy One, blessed be he, only causes his light to shine upon him who is brave, rich, and meek? That line was written with our David in mind.
Never was there a man to use his power so mercifully and well.
Shall I tell you how pious Rabbi Benjamin was? Every year, he used to superintend personally the baking of the matzah for Passover so that he might be sure all was done correctly. Well, there came a year when he was sick and confined to his bed, and his disciples came to him saying,
"We wish to do as you always do, Rabbi, and supervise the baking of the matzah."
Good, good.
Tell us, what should we particularly watch out for?
Well, now, let's see. First of all, you must make sure that the wheat which is used is only the wheat which has been growing in the field, which was specially set aside.
Yes.
And be sure that they all search themselves to make certain they bring in no single crumb of leavened bread with them.
Oh, of course. Is there anything else?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. The most important thing.
The most important? What is that?
Be very careful that nothing is said which might offend the woman who bakes the matzah. She is a widow.
Is it any wonder now that the people of Macomb Echad honored their rabbi for his piety? Or listen to the story of David, the leader of the town, and of how thoughtfully he used his power. He learned that the daughter of a certain neighbor was in love, but that there was just one thing which stood in the way of her marriage. Her father had not the money to give as her marriage portion. And so David went to her father, asking him,
"You'll be going to the big city before long, won't you?"
"The big city? Me? Why, no, I planned no such trip."
"Well, that's funny. I thought you'd be going, maybe."
"Why should I be going to the city? What business would take me there?"
"It was just that I had a favor to ask of you when next you went."
"A favor?"
"You see, it's this way. I owe a man who lives in the city a certain sum of money, 200 gold pieces. I wanted you to pay him for me. Here's the money."
But listen to me. I may not be going to the city for months. It's 2 years since I was there last."
"Well, my friend will wait. Take your time. It will keep. Whenever you manage to get there will be time enough."
David.
Yes?
You remember the time you asked me to pay a debt you had in the big city and you gave me 200 gold pieces to pay it?
A debt? I remember something, yes.
You left me the money, but you never told me the name or address of the man to whom the money should be paid.
His name and address?
Hmm.
Isn't that strange? I can't remember it.
But you must remember it. How otherwise can
I... Oh, it will come back to me. Don't worry about it. When I remember his name, I'll tell you.
But David never would remember the name. On which rung of the golden ladder of charity did he stand then? Well, whichever it was, David was quickly able to reach the eighth and most meritorious step on the ladder by finding jobs for his neighbors, teaching them a trade, putting them in the way of business. In short, eliminating any need for charity. As it is written, "Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee." Four saintly men. That was the boast of Macomb Echad. The most pious man in the world, their rabbi. The wisest man in the world, their sage. The man who had sought power and authority in order to use it well, and the fourth, Israel, the woodchopper. And they were gathered to God on the same day. And their four souls together arrived at the heavenly gates. It would not have been fitting had any one of them been required to delay his entrance into heaven by so much as a day after the others. Here they are, at the gates.
and they are met by the recording angel to bid you welcome.
We are to be received.
We are expected.
We are welcome.
We are not unworthy.
It is inscribed in my record that you, David, are crowned with authority. You, Benjamin, with piety. You, Nathan, with wisdom. And Israel?
I am here.
I have your good name recorded here, too. And yours is the honor of entering first through the gates to your reward.
David, Nathan...
You.
Surely Benjamin, my rabbi, whose piety...
You. My friends, you look troubled. Is it the question of precedence?
It is not troublement, but puzzlement.
In life, we sought, we strived. We are here, so we must have attained...
We were human. We were tempted. We resisted the temptation.
While your friend Israel lived in the woods, rejecting the responsibilities of your position?
We are all his friends.
And we love him more than...
We honor him. We're happy and proud that it is he who has gone first to his reward. Yet...
You, Nathan, were wise because you were able to continue in your studies. You were able to continue in your studies because your father supported you. Your father would have died one night except that Israel, in a winter storm, gave him the warm wool coat off his back.
I know that.
You, David, at the point in your career when you were unable to assume authority and power, became the head of the town.
It was years ago, because a banker gave me credit. Time to pay the mortgage on my mill.
Did you expect him to grant you the time?
I was astonished when he did.
He was happy that morning, because he had gotten good news unexpectedly. His wife called to tell him that his son, who had been very sick, had taken a turn for the better. He had taken a turn for the better because a young girl came to visit him on his sickbed. She came to visit him on his sickbed when her mother unexpectedly gave her permission to do so. Her mother had refused the permission because her temper was bad. But her temper was changed because of a tiny incident. She had spilled a can of milk while jostling through a crowd. The others had laughed at her. But Israel had given her his can of milk and a smile of kindness to go with it.
Israel.
Yes. He was responsible for all your responsibilities, my friend. Even though most of the time he was himself unaware of it. One of you chose piety, one leadership, one wisdom. And you all excelled. He who could have had any of these rejected them. Israel was the master of the good name and wears the crown of the good name. But unlike piety or power or wisdom, a good name cannot be sought. It comes to him who deserves it.
We are unworthy.
No. For wisdom and power and piety must flower if any man is to win the crown of the good name.
We have learned, but too late.
Too late?
Now we can no longer teach this lesson to all people. Think of our town with all of us gone together.
Gone?
Have we not? Could I leave my strength of leadership behind? Could Nathan leave his wisdom? Could Benjamin deed his piety to his son? Could...
Yes?
Israel's good name and his good deeds.
Exactly.
They live?
Yes. Israel can sing with the psalmist, I shall not die, but live to recite thy glory. For the effect of a simple good act never dies. Come, my friends. The gates are opening for you to enter. Together.
But our townspeople, will they know?
It is written in my book, Benjamin, that one year from today, when in your town the people gather together to lift their voices in praise of your memory, the most pious man in the town...
Who will have taken my place?
And the town's leading citizen...
Who will have taken mine?
And the town's wisest man...
Who will have taken mine?
These three men will speak to the others assembled. And they will agree that they must severally and collectively resolve to live up to the fourth crown, the good name. And so will they all
have taken his place. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Jacob Marcus, the Adolf S. Ox Professor of Jewish History at Hebrew Union College, Cincinnati, Ohio. Dr. Marcus.
The master of the good name struggled to leave this world better than he found it. Jewish tradition is to fight evil, no matter where it is met, no matter what the odds. The Jew has only rarely had the capacity to offer actual physical resistance. He has another powerful weapon, and that is, at no time in his history, during all the centuries of disability, has he ever admired or respected his oppressors. He was conditioned by his teaching and training to pity them if they were misled. He refused to degrade himself with corroding hate, for he knew that hate destroyed those who carried it in their hearts. The Jew of the past has always had a mighty tradition of hope, which he never surrendered. He was convinced that justice would ultimately prevail. He knows that a strange complex of historical forces has made him the measuring rod of true democracy in the contemporary state, for he has become the prototype of the hosts of the oppressed and the peacemakers. There is little that we can teach the world, but that little we shall teach with quiet, incessant, everlasting determination. To hate evil, to resist evil, to the last breath in our body. We believe that a truly democratic state is the answer to evil. Every great American has hoped to extend the benefits of our political system. The job of the Jew in this land, as I see it, is to attempt to influence the larger America to accept the implications of the doctrine that all men are created in the image of God. Let us dare to dream of this ideal. With God's help, we cannot fail.
Thank you, Dr. Marcus. Our eternal eye drama today, The Fourth Crown, was written by Peter Lyon. It was presented in observance of the 250th anniversary of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were John Larkin as Israel and Alexander Skirby as the narrator. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.